We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show,
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo, 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 yo.
It's Friday. You know I'm excited, and I'm also excited because we are leaving. Well, we're at the iHeartRadio Music Festival today, all weekend. That's going down, and I always know that's a good time in Las Vegas. But what'd you do last night, Charlamagne?
I have no idea because I'm pretending to act like I'm here this morning.
I know,
because
you're on time.
Yeah, but we really not here, so I don't know what I did last night. I have no idea.
I was trying to play along, but okay.
I ain't got time to be pretending.
Well, last night I was in Vegas. I landed in Vegas. I went to go eat dinner at Tao because I already could tell you what I'm going to do, so I'm going to tell you like I did it already. The food was great. Thanks to everybody in Vegas. Thanks to Tao. Thanks to Mike for always taking care of us. And today, the iHeartRadio Music Festival kicks off. So,
now what if something wild happens in Vegas on Thursday night?
We'll talk about
and they're
it
like,
Saturday.
Oh, wow. You just had dinner through an earthquake.
I didn't notice. The food was so good.
Oh, okay.
All right. But why don't you guys get it off your chest? That's right. We are here live. So call us up, 800-585-1051, and get it off.
We are not here live. That's a total goddamn lie.
We are alive. Call us up right now.
Somebody's here taking the phone calls.
Yes. Hopefully we're alive. I can't tell you what happened last night. Also on the show this morning, we have Yusef Salam and Corey Wise. You know them as the Central Park Five, two of the Central Park Five. And we saw their lives portrayed during that period of time with the Central Park Jogger in New York City. And the docuseries that Ava DuVernay produced for Netflix called When They See Us. And we'll get to hear from them, the people that were Corey Wise and Yusef Salam that were represented in that series. Also, comedian Shantae Wayans will be joining us. She was featured on Tiffany Haddish's They Ready on Netflix also. So make sure you stay tuned because that's going to be really funny for Freaky Friday.
Wake up, wake up, wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Man, it's JP out of Nashville, Tennessee.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Man. I read your book, man. Once. I like it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
DJ Envy, I want to get on your about not there at the same time. Come on.
Wow.
I mean, come on, man. How old, man? You ain't got that time. Solomon, you got that time.
You goddamn right, I'm not changing. I'm telling you, my daddy ain't teach me much of nothing that was good, but he definitely taught me how to change the tire.
I'll tell you what, thing. I'm from New York, and if you're in New York, there's a tire changing place on every corner in Queens, Brooklyn, Manhattan.
Those places cost money.
They're actually pretty cheap.
They're cheap. They're like $5, $9. Like $9 to change.
I don't think y'all understand how bad people doing out here in these streets. I really don't.
It's $5, $9. If you ain't got $5 to change a flat,
$5, $9,
bro, you'd be surprised, bro.
If you ain't got $5 to $9 and you driving, you in trouble.
I feel you, man, boy. I mean, you come to Nashville, Tennessee, man. I just give you some, you know, how to change the tire, and we can swap info.
Now I'm good. I got AAA, bro. And now with Uber, what?
Like I said, only thing about AAA is sometimes they take a long time to come. I'll say that much. You end up waiting for hours.
Sometimes it does. Hello, who's this?
This is Anayo.
Anayo, get it off your chest.
Oh, I wanted to talk about 50 Cent stealing my show, Power.
Oh, oh wow. They on their sixth season, bro. It's almost over. You should have brought this up.
I understand all that, but going through the process is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sitting up here going through the court system with it, and they keep pushing it back.
So did you present your show to him, and he stole your idea, or what happened?
Yeah, in 2013, I present my show to him. He wanted to, it wasn't a show, it was a book called The Drug Game Street Politics. And so he wanted the book, but I said I'd email it. And when I email it, because, you know, you got to have paid for trails when you deal with entertainment. And when I emailed him, he was like, all he said was, thanks, we'll get back with you. And then nothing else happened. And then next thing you know, once I got to the third season or whatever, and I started going back, and I was like, wait, this looks familiar. So once I got my, my lawyers in there, I was like, look, because you already know what you write. And I was like,
did you have the same characters? Did you have a Ghost and a Tommy? Were they similar? How were they similar?
The similar things is the twins, instead of a white, instead of Tommy, it was a Puerto Rican. And then, like, the DEA agent, she was Spanish. Like, a lot of stuff they kept the same, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. You're a hell of a writer. And 50 did a great job with your book.
Stop.
Have a nice day.
Have a good one, man. Lorenzo!
Yo, what's going on? DJ Envy, what's going on?
What's up, bro? Get off your chest.
Hey, listen, Charlamagne there?
I'm right here, sir.
Yo, what's going on, Charla?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored. What's happening?
Yes, sir. Good morning, you too. But listen,
good morning.
I want to know what's going on within the past few years, like 10 years. Why everybody got so damn, like sensitive over everything, man? You can't say nothing online. You got to watch what you say. I be feeling like sometimes, you ever heard of that? Like you be seeing in movies, like when people put in movies like that cryo sleep. I just feel like doing something like that. Well, and going to sleep for like 10 years to come back and be like, yo, what's going on?
Well, everybody's so fake politically correct. You can say whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? You just got to deal with the consequences of what you said. You know, and I think that everybody's so afraid of like these social media mobs and being attacked that they be walking tight ropes and walking on thin ice because they don't want to be attacked by the mob.
But, yeah, there is so much,
about everything.
But there's so much access now, too. Before social media, we weren't hearing what everyone had to say about everything. Now everybody's voicing their opinions, and sometimes they're saying things that maybe they regret saying, or maybe they're not saying it in the right way. Sometimes they're putting it out there to get overanalyzed by people.
They only regret when they get attacked.
That's understandable. That's cool. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, let's say it's Charlamagne. He don't ever post his kids, but if he posts his kids and he does something with his kids, you know, right away, oh my God, yo, he shouldn't be doing this and this and that. Like, come on, yo, mind your business.
I agree with you. Everybody's so sensitive. Everybody's so soft nowadays. But it's just the way society
bro,
is.
Bro, say whatever you want. Who gives a damn? Let the mob attack.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
The Breakfast Club. It's your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's good, Envy?
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest, man.
Yo, I actually met you in Miami for the with Caesar when the lights went out. You remember that joint?
That just sounded crazy.
This guy is kinky, boy. Nah, you got to watch
that
DJ Envy.
Crazy, man. We had a real estate seminar in Miami, and the power went out.
Seriously, y'all.
So what if you just said, you know, when the lights went out, when you were teaching me try to flip stuff?
Nah, I'm trying to flip, but not that.
Go ahead, brother.
Real talk, Envy, like, the last few weeks been crazy. So I had two jobs. I work from home, and I left one of them thinking, like, let me really invest in real estate. Then come to find out my government job, it canceled my joint. So now I'm like, is this a sign? Do I really go forward with this? Like, I seen you mentoring, so I'm trying to see what's good.
Yeah, I got about three kids right now that that I'm actually trying to help to get into some cribs. You being in Miami makes it very difficult because I'm in New York, New Jersey
area. I can fly anywhere. Mm. Like, I'm ready.
All right, what's your credit? What's your credit?
My credit right now is 7, sitting on like 45.
All right, you got some money saved up?
Yes.
Well, you can get started. Email me, CZNDJMV@gmail. I can't mentor you, but I can guide you down the right path.
All right.
You got it? You got the email?
Caesar.
And DJMV@gmail. All right?
All right.
Good luck, bro.
All right, thanks.
Hello, who's this?
This is Ty from Harlem.
Hey, Ty from Harlem. Get it off your chest.
Yeah, basically, I just want to vent, kind of give myself the donkey of the day for being too trusting. Long story short, you know, New York girl, city girl, I'm supposed to know it all.
City girl.
I dated an older guy. Yeah, city girl. And was dating an older guy. He's 45 to my early 30s. I have two children. So my kids went away to school for vacation. I mean, went away for vacation to New York in May, the end of May. And he went through a situation. The only way I could help him out at the time was, you know, I didn't have the cash, so I allowed him to basically pawn a 50-inch TV and my son's Xbox One with the intentions of him getting it out the next week.
You let him pawn your son's Xbox?
Yeah.
And you ain't get it back?
So, the next week he was supposed to get it out, though. When he got paid, it went from, you know, a check was short. So from one story to another, I asked him for the paperwork to get it out myself, and it turned into arguments. It turned ugly, so I stopped dealing with him. I went to New York, you know, got my kids, came back down. So he's trying to get back in where he's sitting, and I'm like, well, what about my kids' things? You know what I mean? Like, you never replaced it.
That's
he's
cold.
Like, oh, I have $145. That's not an LG Smart TV and an Xbox One. You know, I gave it to you
Sheesh.
To help you pay your rent. And come to find out, you was, you know, doing things I didn't know about and geeking. That's why I left you alone. And you're 45 years old. You know what I mean? So I took myself in the behind, you know, lesson learned. But it's still messed up because I feel like now this dude is like playing reverse. And it's like, oh, well, you know, your mouth and you're rude and disrespectful. But it's
you're like,
dude,
I still ain't got my kid's Xbox.
Thank you. And this is why I'm rude and disrespectful. You know, I found out, you know, I guess Molly is the new thing in Orlando. It's the new crack to me.
Molly's the new thing? Nah, Molly been around, boo. It's crazy that... You got you pawning your kids' Xbox, though.
City Boys up 1,000.
It's very crazy that the D got you pawning your kids' Xbox.
Basically, I was traumatized, and I thought I was helping him out, and it didn't work out that way.
So what's crazy is
myself in the behind.
He didn't have any of his own things to pawn.
Nope.
No, he was renting a room. I took it as he was getting back on his feet. You know, he went through a breakup, and
how do you explain that to your child?
Yeah, why are you dating a crackhead anyway?
He's not a crackhead. He's just on Molly.
No.
How do you explain that to your child, though?
After the fact.
You said what?
I didn't know what it was until after the fact. I'm not from here. I don't know anyone.
How do you explain that to your child, though?
Honestly, I didn't explain. I said the TV broke and it's in the shop. So
you lied.
And what about my Xbox, though, Ma?
Yeah, it broke. Everything, I spilled water. It got in the TV, the Xbox, and it'll be back this Friday.
He's probably so sad.
How old is he?
My son, he's 14, his first year of high school.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, well, at least you're right. You gave yourself donkey of the day.
And my daughter is 6, so I have one hollering about YouTube TV and the other hollering about his Xbox, and I'm just like, oh, I'm going to get it out the shop.
Well, don't worry. Your son, in a few years, he'll be doing the same thing to some poor woman, using his D to get what he wants.
No, he will not. I'm determined. That's why I'm putting it on blast. I want you to know, stop falling for these dudes. You have to really be careful who you deal with and pay attention.
Lesson learned. Never pawn your child's items
and
for a man.
How long you been with him?
Never.
How long were you with him?
We were dating for only 4 months.
4 months too long.
Hey, pawn it for penis. Have a nice day, okay?
Damn it, man. Keep it locked. We have more coming up next. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking Tekashi 6ix9ine. Now, he's facing 47 years to life in prison. If you were Tekashi 6ix9ine, would you snitch? Let's start off with you, Yee.
I mean, first of all, I wouldn't be in that situation because I wouldn't be running around like that.
That's
doing
not the question.
The things that he did, but yes, I would. I mean, that's my point. I'm not a criminal, so I don't do things. I don't try to plot on getting people killed or shot or anything like that. So I wouldn't be there. But if I was, I'm not no street person.
Neither
so I'm gonna keep it real.
But he figured it out. Yeah. But this is the whole thing. Like, you know, I hate you. You hate me. I'm supposed to hold it down for you and
Never.
Do 47 years. And all these things that you allegedly did, you stole from me, you knocked off my baby mom, you kidnapped me, and all that. And I'm supposed to still hold you down and take the street code to the death? No way!
Yeah, it's not happening.
Well, first of all, there's no honor amongst thieves, all right? So you knew who these people were before you decided to ride with them, Tekashi. And I don't expect Tekashi to stick to the code because he wasn't built from the code. And it's been real live street guys who have snitched. So why wouldn't Tekashi 6ix9ine?
They shouldn't have expected him to stick to that code either.
Exactly.
They should have anticipated this.
I don't know because... One thing I think Tekashi isn't taking into consideration is the impact this is going to have on people around him. When you snitch, he's sending a lot of people to prison. And what we fail to realize about those people he's sending to prison is they also have people, too. So now you put your whole family in danger, Tekashi 6ix9ine, because you want to play. And this is what happens when you play. And we've been telling you for the past year and some change that you was going to either end up here or dead. And it's a good chance you still may end up dead because of what you're doing currently right now.
But obviously, it seems like he doesn't care about his baby mama. So the only thing it seems like he cares about is his mom's, which I think
you got
I heard
mom,
they
you got
moved
a child.
Out already. And I guess he's like, look, as long as my mom's good, I don't know. He can't hide. Like, there's no witness protection with a big 6ix9ine on your forehead.
Yeah.
By the way,
you could get that tattoo removed.
By the way, he may not make it out of prison. That's the other thing. It's a reason that they have him away from all the other inmates and stuff right now, because they know that he's an informant. They don't like rats in prison the same way they don't like pedophiles.
But I will say, if you worked with Tekashi and you knew, like, he's not really this street dude, they should have never included him in a lot of those activities. They should have just let him be an artist, because I feel like they should have known when it came down to anything.
He was allegedly funding it.
This is just as sad as the Tupac, man. Because Tupac ran with the Bloods for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
2 years. Ran with the Bloods for 2 years. Ended up getting into a fight in the lobby with some Crips. And now look. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yo, man. Y'all, like, yo, just be yourself at the end of the day.
Blast.
Hey, what's up, C the God?
Well, good morning, sir. How are you?
Now, what would you do, Blast?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What's up, DJ Envy?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, if you're yourself.
What would you do?
Would you snitch?
No, man. I wouldn't snitch. Woo! You feel me?
So you would be cool with doing 47 years in prison?
He said he not snitching.
I wouldn't take this crap. You feel me?
You on phone saying stuff, so you're gonna go. You're going to jail.
He's definitely going to jail.
So you would do the 47 years because you're keeping it real.
Well, actually, 47 years is the minimum.
Yeah, that's the minimum. 47 years life.
Told on the streets, you know what I'm saying? They wanted me to stay. I got shot up. They wanted me to stay. They wanted me to go to the court straight from the hospital.
Hell no, we won't tell.
What happened to the preview? What happened to the person that shot you?
Them that they got stitched. They like the people told on them. Like the people I know, but I wouldn't hit them.
Oh, the people that was with you on them.
The nigga that they set me up, my family. So they stitched on him. I ain't
saying
nothing. You feel me? I went out of
time. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and act like I understand what you're saying this morning.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
I really don't even understand.
All
I keep hearing
nothing,
is, I feel me. You feel me? Every two sentences.
Junior.
Yo.
Yo, Junior, would you snitch?
Nah, I ain't snitching. I just based off how I was raised and everything. Like, where I'm from, when you snitch, you get stitches. So if you run up with a gang and everything go the wrong way, you feel me? You got to take that fall. You can't do that about
it. So, Junior, you going to sit for 47 years?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit for 47
years. Or more. Maybe life.
47 is the minimum, buddy.
Yeah, I know 47 is the minimum. It's tough, but you feel me? That's what he did to himself. You can't be out here screaming, gang, gang, you gangster. That's why when 50 got on that get the strap, he said, I am not gang, gang.
You didn't know that till 50 gang, did that. Gang. You didn't know that till 50 did that interview with DJ Drama.
50 only been that type of dude, man. 50 always been that type of dude, man.
Right,
even
man.
Though he a troll, too.
Nah, I ain't mad at y'all. I'm not mad at y'all for not snitching, but I don't believe any of y'all.
Yeah, I don't believe any of
people say that until they
life.
Get in that situation.
800-585-1051. We're talking to Tekashi. If you was in his situation, would you snitch? Call us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're asking if you were in Tekashi's shoes, would you snitch?
Well, as I'm telling you, don't ask me to commit no crime with you. Don't have me involved in nothing because I have nothing to do with nothing.
Well, here's the thing.
And
too,
I'm a good citizen.
Tekashi is doing exactly what we know he would do in this situation. But if I was in Tekashi's situation, I don't know if I would be so quick to snitch only because he's putting a lot of people in prison, and those people that he's putting in prison, they have people. And Tekashi has people on the outside that he wants to protect, like his mom, like his daughter. Like, he's putting them in grave danger.
They're coming for his mom and daughter anyway. They already were regardless.
Witness protection. I mean, he's looking. How old is Tekashi? 25?
Witness protection protects Tekashi, not his mom and not his daughter.
But he got to move more to, like...
He don't have that kind of money. He's spending money on lawyers.
All I know is, weren't they already targeting his mom and his family?
That's what I'm saying.
So, and he had to already pay for security for them. So regardless, they're still going to do that.
He could be in there
whether
until
you tell or not.
75.
Okay.
Yes.
That's, hey, I'd rather my daughter grow up, you know what I'm saying, and live a great life than have her potentially be the victim of gangbangers because I was out here telling and snitching.
But she still might
I'm
not.
I'm just saying, it's not as easy a decision for him to snitch as people think it is. I wouldn't have, you know, I would have to think about my family on the outside.
Rodriguez.
Hello.
Good morning, mama.
Good morning. I listen to y'all every day. I love y'all.
Well,
thank you.
Now, what would you do if you were Tekashi 6ix9ine, mama?
He should go to jail. He chose that lifestyle. He put himself completely in that situation. Like, he had a chance to do something amazing, but because he wanted to pretend like he was down in the streets, not, he allowed all that to happen when he brought all those people in his area, you know?
Okay.
All right.
So you say you wouldn't snitch?
No.
I
said he should go to jail.
He has nobody to blame but himself.
Okay.
You know, if you live by the gun, you die by the gun.
That's a fact.
Run.
Yes, sir.
You snitch and run.
Nah, he can't snitch because he got to save his career. For one, he morally he should, but...
His career in jail?
His career. He won't come out till he's 75 is a possibility.
If he ever comes out.
But what I'm saying is that the same reason why he is who he is because of them people. The same reason he can brag and go to Chicago and do all this stuff he did is because of the same guys that he's snitching on. He didn't have no credibility. They were his credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he have a career if he's snitching on the people that gave him credibility?
That's why he said he was staying in jail.
If he snitched on him, he's done. If he can't make any more music, especially street music. And
I disagree.
He's done.
It's so crazy right now. He'll make another record and say that, you know, yeah, I snitched because they said this, and then people will love him again. It just seems like that's how it is
the
now.
The girls, the females, because the men definitely, half of the men don't rock with him now. The kids rock with him, but the half of the men who do the no snitching and the non-snitching, half of them don't rock with him now.
Yeah, but I think he has a lot of suburban fans that don't really live by the cold, so I don't think they necessarily care.
I mean, I got three sons, so I'm definitely in an argument about 6ix9ine every day. You know, I got three teenage sons, so I go through it every day about this guy. So
right, and they didn't come from the same place that you came from, and they don't care. They just like his music and love the fact that he trolls.
And yeah, they don't even understand.
You're not going to win that argument with them.
So they don't care. They don't care about the street code.
They pull up all type of facts, all type of stuff offline. See? All type of,
and the more you try to argue with them, the harder they going to go for him.
They still going to listen to Tekashi 6ix9ine.
That's how I used to sound when I was a kid, arguing about...
Like, all you got to do is be like, you know what? I like Tekashi, too, and then they probably won't like him no more.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely right. Man, thank y'all, man. Y'all have a great day.
You, too. What's the moral of the story, if there's a moral?
I don't think there is a moral of the story. The moral of the story is you turn out to be what you pretend to be. And guess what? Gangsters, all right? Most gangsters end up in the position that Tekashi 6ix9ine is in right now. Either jail or dead. And a guy like Tekashi 6ix9ine, who was never about that code, is not going to follow the code. And he's going to end up snitching just like he's doing right now.
My goodness. All right, we got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
Keep The Breakfast Club humble with Slander The Breakfast Club. Tell him be humble. Sit down.
The truth hurt, don't. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Slander The Breakfast Club.
That's right. We need the humbling. You know what I'm saying? We like to do this every now and then just to keep us humble. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, let's get to it. Kelly.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Kelly. Who you want to slander?
Charlamagne.
Why you want to slander Charlamagne?
I'm a fairly new listener. I've been listening for about 2 years. And Charlamagne has been open and honest about what he went through as a child in terms of his sexual molestation. And, you know, I wonder if maybe you need to explore that a little deeper in your therapy, because out of the three of y'all, Charlamagne, you are the only one that makes so many over-the-top sexual references about man parts, about doing things sexually that most people don't even talk about in the privacy of their own home. And I wonder if it's because you have residual issues with what happened to you, because it's very cringeworthy to listen to you make so many over-the-top sexual references.
You do talk about man butt a lot.
That's a valid point.
Yeah, that's a valid point. You do talk about man butt a lot.
I'm not even disputing her. I think she might be right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Kelly.
Did you hear anything this morning?
Not this morning. So I was kind of rooting for you this morning, but, you know, y'all not off the air for another 45 minutes.
You must have just got in the car.
You didn't hear when I told Envy that just because a man tells you to get on your knees like you used to, that might not be a reference.
I did hear that.
Okay.
That was kind of mild compared to how you used to.
That is right.
Did you hear how he told Envy he was going to fill in his face?
I didn't say that.
No.
He did say that.
That didn't happen, man.
But thank you, Kelly. Hey, Jason. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, what's going on, Envy, Angela, Liggy, Charlamagne? How y'all doing?
Hi, Jason.
I what the hell you just said?
Who you want to slander?
Charlamagne. I think he a closet homo. Everything y'all talk about, it comes back to some closet homosexual stuff. What's up with that, Charlamagne?
Like what? Give me an example. What's in my closet? Give me an example.
You tell me, just like this morning, I was talking about the Russell Westbrook. You talking about what, maybe he was gay and he told him to get on his
knees. Yeah, it had nothing to do with anything.
What are you talking about?
Right.
Because I don't understand why people just jump to the conclusion that that meant slavery just because a man tells another man get on your knees like you used to.
Well, that's the conclusion Russell Westbrook jumped to.
But why'd you go to the homicide?
Homicide is murder, sir.
it's homicide.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. Robert.
Hi.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Who you want to slander?
DJ Envy. I got a slander today, man.
Why you want to slander me, brother?
Man, I recently started following you on Instagram, man, and all your posts is a different car with the same hoodie on every time, man.
He got it on now.
What hoodie is it? What does it say? Is it My God Versus My Enemies?
Yes.
I love that brand.
I wonder why.
I love that brand. I love that brand. That's
tell
them
where
brand.
You can buy it.
Yeah, but you can go to bodyofgod.com and you can get your own. You know, my dad said that the same. Do you own any other clothes? You wear that same hoodie all the time. Thanks,
it's a
dad.
Uniform.
Why do they think it's the same hoodie?
It's different colors.
Exactly.
It might be the same. It smells the same.
No, it's not. Juan.
What's going on?
Juan, what's up, my amigo?
Hola.
hey, what's up, my Dominican brother?
No, you're talking to Envy. I ain't Dominican. Yeah, I'm 97% West African, sir.
No, I'm talking about DJ Envy. He knows Spanish first.
See, Papi.
You better take. You better embrace that, man.
Okay.
Who you want to slander, Papito?
How you doing, though, man? I just want to say what's up to you guys. I listen to you guys every morning, man. Y'all funny. Shout out to the guy. I got love for you, man. You keep it funky all the time, and that's a good thing.
Well, thank you, sir. But this is slander the Breakfast Club, so we can't.
I'm about to slander y'all, man.
Oh.
I'm slandering Evie because he's not embracing his waffle, man. He's got to embrace that waffle.
He does embrace it. He eats them all the time.
Oh, no. Yeah, he don't hold us down, though, man. He be laying, Charlamagne,
bunk
with that, man.
Yeah.
I'm not Dominican, man. I'm black.
You soft as pancakes, MV.
Stop playing.
Why you don't embrace your Dominican side, man?
All right, Papi. Como está usted?
Hey, Charlamagne, I hear him every morning. I'm like, why ain't you embracing it, man? Just embrace it.
Don't worry.
You know you got that
salsa in you. Yeah, it's almost springtime. He'll be out here with the white jeans. He'll be full-blown Dominican by summer.
Como está usted? All right, peace, Papi.
What?
Oh, hasta la...
Why are you calling him Papi?
I don't know. D!
Yo.
Who you want to slander, D?
Me Poppy,
I didn't call you Poppy.
Why did
you
call
it wasn't for you.
He definitely called you Poppy, D.
This is a slander, man, because I think you're really gay, man. I really think you're gay, Envy. Like, because you always...
What is up with y'all?
You're always so sensitive, bro. Why are you so gay?
Wait, now, hold on. What does gay have to do with being sensitive?
Yeah, what's wrong with being sensitive?
Don't even like boys.
There ain't nothing wrong with being gay, but damn, bro, you always got to be so sensitive.
Why are you so goddamn sensitive?
Charlamagne, bro, I love you, bro. But you look like a worn-out wallet, bro.
A worn-out wallet?
Oh. Yes.
Bruh, I'm gay, but he's not.
Yes.
He's not looking like a worn-out wallet.
Fix everything about your face, bro. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm going to go back to Envy. Like, real talk, Envy. Yo, you need to start playing some real shit. Man, some real stuff, man.
You don't get paid to play real music.
Stop doing that, man.
And that's what I'm saying. Y'all can always complaining about, oh, man, we tired of hearing the same stuff and this and that and this. You play the same whack
yes,
stuff.
He does.
You whack for that. You whack for that.
You ain't got nothing for ye?
Ye.
There you go.
I love you, ye.
There you go.
But you laugh like a 4-year-old little girl and you need to fix your whole laugh. And matter of fact, just go to Disneyland. Go to Disney World. Experience something new for your life, okay?
Right? I liked it. I liked your slander this morning. It started off strong.
I don't mind laughing like a 4-year-old.
Ended a little weak, but it was strong.
All right, bye, man. Slander the Breakfast Club. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The Breakfast Club.
CJ, MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
Yes, sir.
Now, we all seen Central Park 5.
When They See Us.
When they see us
is the name of it. I call it Central Park 5. That's what I know. And now, these two young men, the story was based off of your lives.
Yes, indeed.
So Yusuf Salam and Corey Wise. Welcome, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask y'all brothers a question? Do y'all feel seen yet?
I think so. I think now is, yeah, we're on a different plateau now. This happened to the formerly known as Central Park Five, mm-hmm. right? But this is what's happening to black and brown people all around the globe.
That's right.
And so been America happening. Is this petri dish of, you know, I call it the criminal system of injustice, you know?
That's the best thing about social media and everything that's going on and creating movies and Netflix and all these outlets. I grew up in it. So I lived it and I experienced it being from Queens and we seen it. And we seen the effect of media and the ads that Donald Trump took out. But then you forget about it, like lost it for I don't even know how many years, 20 years, 30
yeah,
years?
30 years.
30 years. And now the fact that it's back and now is it can be documented and something that we can look at all and see how the judicial system really affects us and takes advantage of our youth.
You think about how those ads that Donald Trump took out also harmed the whole situation. Like, that should have been illegal, of him asking them to bring back the death penalty. And, you know, he still hasn't admitted that he's wrong.
Right? No, not at all. But you know what's crazy about that, right? This ad was taken out 2 weeks after we were accused. We hadn't even gone to trial yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they looked at us and said, oh yeah, Corey looks like a rapist. Yusuf looks like a rapist.
Correct.
Antron, Kevin, Raymond, you know what I'm saying?
What does a
basically
rapist look like?
Right.
A black man?
A black man, a person with this skin color, if they're accused, they're not accused, they're actually the culprit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest problem of the criminal justice system. They look at people and automatically cast judgment. This man took out $85,000 of his own money to pay for these ads to run in New York City's newspapers. That was a lot of money then. That's a lot of money now.
A lot of money now.
A lot of folks don't have $85,000 sitting mm-hmm. in the bank, you know? And so for him to do that, it gave a nod to everybody in the darkest place of society to then think about, what can we do to these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Pat Buchanan started writing about Corey in the papers. He said, let's take the eldest one and hang him from a tree in Central Park.
Wow.
Now you look at the series and you realize Corey wasn't even, one, he wasn't even a suspect.
Right.
And two, he became the magic that freed us.
He went down there for the support.
He came down support there for
you.
Me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know? I mean, and that's such an honorable and noble thing, man. I always have this guy's back right here, man.
He ended up getting more time than all of y'all, though.
I know, Corey.
Man, he did almost 14.
Why the hell did I go down there?
He got more time than all of y'all.
Riding with my eyes, I should have just went the f*** on.
But it's not even anything that you anticipate could happen, right? Because
right.
before that, you're not thinking, okay, I'm going to go down and see what's going on, and then I'm going to end up somehow getting accused of something. Because I'm sure you knew he didn't do anything wrong also.
Yeah. You know what the real law is? The real law is white supremacy, white male dominance.
That's right.
That's the only law that is recognized in America.
I say it all the time. Old white men have been the parasites of this country. They're the problem with this country. Every fucked up law, even now from the abortion bill to everything, is because of old white men.
Talk about it, man. That's what it is. And that's a problem. But see, one of the most beautiful things about this is that we survived this. He did almost 14 years.
Corey, what did your parents say when you went down there? And they said, you had nothing to do with this, but you coming down here for your friend. What did your parents say at that time?
Well, she didn't even know that I was there. She just heard that I was there. But by the time for her to catch up to me, I was already gone on the island.
Mm-hmm.
I get the feeling, Corey, that whenever I even see you on TV and stuff, it's like it's still hard for you to talk about this stuff.
To a degree, but at the same time, it becomes therapy to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You guys all watched it together for the first time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was one of the hardest things, I think, to watch, because there was already the assumption that we already knew what everybody went through. I said, you know what? Shoot, my time was like this. Corey's time probably was like that as well. And then when we saw it and we got an opportunity to see Corey's portrayal in this awesome film, When They See Us, it blew our minds.
Right.
Like, he was in real hell. We was in paradise.
Mm.
I mean, that's how I described, like, I was in maximum A security youth facilities.
Mm-hmm.
He was in gladiator school.
Right.
Everybody knows Rikers Island.
We're right to the
around
island.
The globe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
So pretty much as I found myself learning from the documentary up to now, this would be what I was feeling from him when I was inside.
Mm-hmm.
After me learning from the documentary with Trump being in there, I said, Now I understand where my slug was coming from.
And that's hard. Because it was like, you know, you said one day recently, you said, this right here was Donald Trump placing a bounty on our head.
That's
right.
It was.
That's right. And all of the hell that he experienced, all of the fact that he had to fight for his life for real. You see what I'm saying? You say that this is life after death for you.
Yeah.
You say that Corey died in prison.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that even the emergence of who Corey is now is like, I've heard him say, man, he's fighting for the Corey that couldn't fight. He's fighting for those Coreys.
Do you forgive everybody involved, the woman, the prostitute, the officers? Because people say forgiving is the best therapy or things like that. Do you forgive?
No, no.
Word.
I'm with you.
I'm with you
100%. It was pretty much as of lately when they showed the new 30 years later, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Then I find myself looking at all the players involved. And even she didn't have nothing to do with the rest of it. All she had to do was just hear about Reyes, Mateus, and keep it moving. But she stuck around for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the victim herself. And when I found myself getting an extra from her, you know, as far as the lawsuit and everything, and from the Supreme Court, she was like, well, I feel that the judge should have waited a little. I said, mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with you. You got your little money. This has nothing to do with you. You already found out who violated mm-hmm. you. My state of mind, keep off of that. Don't get extra with that, because our hands are not on your dining room table. Don't put yours on ours.
Mm.
Damn, these people here are so prejudiced, man.
Yeah.
You just, as far as they're concerned, in their eyes, you just belong on welfare. You stay on welfare.
Mm.
So long story short from that, you know, as far as all the knockouts is concerned, I get it from the world's famous picture with Ali, and I think Sonny Liston is on there,
mm-hmm.
and he was on the ground.
Right.
So that's what the movie is doing to the system. That it's knocking everybody out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's knocking them out, and it's taking them out.
Mm-hmm.
As I find myself learning, the district attorney passed away
mm-hmm.
before his 100th birthday. So I was glad that he overturned it and took it to his grave with him.
Because mm-hmm.
if he ain't overturned it, it'd been about at least another 30, 40 more years for another district attorney to overturn the case. So I was just, wow.
All right, we got more with Yusuf Salaam and Corey Wise. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined it, we're kicking it with Yusuf Salaam and Corey Wise. What was the first thing you guys did when you guys got out?
My first day out, I tried on all my old clothes. I could still fit it. I put on a triple fat boots with a fur on the collar. It wasn't in style. And my sister saw me. She was like, yo, don't wear that. It looks good, but don't wear that. I literally had the triple fat boots with the fur on the collar, and I'm checking myself out in the mirror like, man, I'm going to wear this. You know what I'm saying? And then I came across this right here. I came across a box of letters that I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them had no return address, but they were sent to us.
Wow.
We all received this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I picked up one, and as I'm reading it, I realized my mother had received this type of stuff while we were first arrested,
mm-hmm.
and she had been dealing with the prison of what it's like to be free, like be a parent and have a loved one in prison.
Right.
That was a hard thing. This letter right here, just to kind of give you an idea of my reality when I came home, this letter says to Yusuf Salaam, this letter is to let you know that your name has been placed on the list of enemies of society by the Citizens Army New York City branch. You made a decision when you became one of the pack that decided that Central Park was your arena and decided to attack and violate honest citizens who happened to be in the park.
Mm.
Now, this is the part that's a kicker. So just remember that even 20 to 30 years from now, some of us will never forget. And maybe the one time that you don't check your back is the one time that somebody might just be there to say hello.
Wow.
Mm.
And so you think about like where we are in the country, in the Donald Trump, this is Donald Trump's America.
Yeah.
This is an America where—
Can I read the rest of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That looks like this isn't a racial letter.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is it then?
I mean, at the end of the day, people chose sides.
Mm-hmm.
They've always picked sides. And we've been the ones that they've already said, you know what? We're expendable.
Absolutely.
And called you a mutant animal with no conscience.
But that was, this was sent to all of us.
Now, Corey, what was the first thing that you did when you got home?
Try to find a roof over my head. Mm. I found a roof over my head and just pretty much from there, just try to find me. Went to my mother and went from there, went to my brother's. My brother's spot uptown. He couldn't deal with me. I was just scrambling.
He said he couldn't deal with you because you still had that jail mentality.
Could have been, or just he's not used to having a kid around him. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. But he was just, you know, I'm hearing, but as I was hearing all the negative coming from him, it was just building me up.
Right.
Okay, some way, somehow, I got you. And, you know, I just, it was rough. It was rough for me to get where I'm at today.
You took a lot of loss in prison too, right, Corey? You lost your sister and the girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
They both died.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to properly grieve either one of them?
No. I guess my only way of grieving would be just watching a movie.
Mm.
That's when, because I don't watch it like that. So when I do watch it, it becomes brand new to me. And then when it becomes brand new to me, it made me want to look at my brother here and just punch him in the shoulder.
I mean, but that's real talk. Because at the end of the day, his pain came from the decision that he made to come down to be my ace in the hole.
Right.
Like, you know, not understanding anything about the law. A lot of times now, if we see somebody being arrested or something like that, we like, yo, we know our rights. Right. You know, we start talking to the cops. But Miranda says, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law if you fail to remain silent. And so not even being wise enough to understand the chess move that was being played on us. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy for me because I feel so this is my brother and I'm indebted to him in a way that is indescribable.
Right.
Because not only did he make the decision to come down, mm-hmm. but when you see the series, you realize that people aren't built the way he was built,
right?
And still is built, right? They came to get him at one point. He's in his cell, and they say, "Hey, man, get ready. We're going to your parole hearing." And he's like, "No, I'm not going." They're like, "You're not going?" He said, "Nah. If they don't want to hear my truth, I don't want to waste my time." Like, imagine if he would have said, "Let me just say anything to get out of here."
Right.
Word.
Story never would have been told. We'd have still had this cloud of suspicion over our heads. He bumped into the real dude that did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at it from a more spiritual perspective that everybody that was supposed to be players in this was in the right position.
When you bumped into that dude, what was your mentality then? Because it had to be, I'm a killer.
Yeah, if you kill him, you won't be able to confess.
That gotta be the first thing that's on your mind. Like, you got me here.
I came across Reyes when I was sitting in the day room watching TV on the island. He came through. He was beginning to talk about his rap sheet, what he did. So I'm looking at him. I recognized a few other officers that was behind him. And I'm like, you know, the thought came to me one time, could he have something to do with this hair?
Mm.
But that was it until we fought in the day room about TV, because I was about to watch Video Music Box at the time.
Robin Daniels,
there you go.
And we fought. Nice little scar from him. Thank you, Reyes.
Mm.
And long story short, that I had caught up to him upstate in Auburn. I guess rumor got to him. Waz is in the area. He's in the building. So Reyes sees me on the basketball court. He comes my way. So when he comes my way, he goes, "You Waz?" I said, "Who wanna know?" It's me.
It's 13 years later, by the way. Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "Yo, you know." So he's just talking. "Wow, you still got the scar on your face." So he's still talking to me. So you can say about the next day,
mm-hmm.
I had went to breakfast. It was a heavy gray cloud in the mess hall. Everybody was looking at each other, but more so, it felt like 90% looking at me. So let me just grab my breakfast and get out of here, because I didn't try to get eaten up down here.
Mm.
You walked in the chaplain's office. I said, "Huh?" So I went down. It was my mom, picked it up, and she was just hysterical. I'm like, what's up? She said, you know, the guy who you ran, that ran into you up there where you at, he loved you so much, he cleared your name.
Hmm.
I said, huh? He cleared your name. I said, okay. And it was just good. Just said, how you want to do this? I said, I'm ready to come home, whatever. So I had to come home on parole. So I came home on parole. It was just good. It was just a beautiful feeling.
Right.
All right, we got more with Yusuf Salaam and Corey Wise. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining, we're kicking it with Yusuf Salaam and Corey Wise. Charlamagne?
How did Ava's depiction of the story change your life this far?
I think in a good way, because she was able to take this story that all of the negative players, meaning like the system, she was able to take the story and turn it inside out so that people can see the humanized version of us, to understand what was really at stake, that we didn't deserve that, that we literally had a huge chunk of our lives taken away from us,
right.
And a lot of us do, and here we came back and we were able to survive somehow. You know,
a lot of us didn't know the details either,
right? And the details was the stuff that they didn't want you to know on purpose. Because they wanted people to think, just like the jogger, right? They wanted everybody to think, including the jogger, that they had done their job.
Right.
Case
closed. We solved this case.
Right. Yeah. But they were so invested with this case. And here it is. All of our families, all of the people that were supporting us was like, you got the wrong guys. These guys didn't do it. You had Kevin Richardson, who was picked up that night with Raymond Santana. No forensic. I mean, they had Kevin saying that she scratched him.
Right.
There's no forensic evidence underneath her fingernails. Like, no skin from Kevin is underneath her fingernails. There's no evidence that anybody was in the park near this woman. But yet you're painting this picture like you got the right people. And because they got stuck with that lie, there could have been a young, pregnant Latina woman who was his next victim. She could have been alive today.
Absolutely.
Her unborn child could have been alive
today. That's why I never understood. I'm like, wouldn't it benefit the community for you to actually go get the right person?
Exactly.
Instead of any person?
Exactly. But this is America. This is how the justice system always operates. You know what I'm saying? And if they do get the right person, right?
You still can't get out.
I mean, if you happen to have a name like Dylan Roof, right? And they come and get you.
You get some Burger King.
They take you to Burger King. You know, they catch you alive.
Right. And the crazy thing is that he would have never confessed, right? If Reyes would have never said it was him, you guys' names might never have been
cleared.
And you got to think how many people are still in that situation who didn't commit a crime, in jail. And then it's not even just once you get out, you have that record, but people really believe that you are a rapist.
Yeah.
If Reyes wouldn't had Governor Pataki at that time, his state of mind was for his parole board. If this guy here don't comply with his programs, the parole board was allowed to hit you past your max. I said, huh? So anybody that had a serious case going on and they had refused to special programming, the parole board just had to hit you past your max. I came in with 5 to 15, so my time would have been 15 in life if Raisman never did so.
That's the crazy part.
And then you got out and was still on parole.
Yeah.
Even though...
When I came on parole, they was thinking about throwing an ankle bracelet on me. And they said, I think we did hit something on the Reyes coming forward for us. We're gonna leave that alone for now. No, we ain't gonna give you no bracelet. Just every 2 weeks, just come through until we tell you not to come through no more. Is that right?
I'm looking at all them letters, man. Somebody said they wanted to castrate you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When did that ever stop, that hate mail? Or?
I think it changed. I mean, I feel like there's a lot more supporters now than there were back then. Even when we came home from prison, it wasn't popular to be one of us.
Right.
We took that Central Park jogger brand, and we rose to the occasion and was like, yeah, we're one of them. You know what I'm saying? And so we took it and made it like a cape for us, you know, a superpower. Whereas there was a lot of folks who, even to this day, I'm telling people about Donald Trump, and they're like, nah, he's not like that. Your eyes are lying to you, because we've seen all kind of other stuff that has been going on. But this right here, he did this.
Yeah.
And in here, he says something like, and this is kind of like, after you read the bulk of it, he says, criminals must be told that their civil liberties end when attack on our safety begins. if through the 13th Amendment they're looking at black and brown folks, it clearly states that we can turn you back to a slave for the punishment of a crime.
Absolutely.
And so if they're looking at black and brown folks as the criminal element, then who is he talking about? The R, civil liberties, is the constituents that don't look like us.
Absolutely.
Right. What would you say to Linda Fairstein now, if you could say something to her for her to hear?
I guess I would just say basically thank you for saving my life. I don't know how my life would have turned out. Mm. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Because she put me in a bad situation, and at the same time, when me being a kid, I don't know how my life would have had turned out. If I would have graduated from high school, college, work. So she, you know, I guess she just put easy money in my pocket. Mm. By her messing up.
Yeah, but she took away a lot of your life, my brother.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's no price on that.
When I spoke before and I said we were all placed in this case on purpose, the beautiful thing about this is that for us to be survivors, for us to realize that we have comeback power, that we came back from sudden death. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You look at a person like Linda Fairstein and you realize she, Elizabeth Lederer, the officers that were involved, the media that wrote the story in a way that made sure that the public opinion was swayed to make sure we got convicted, all of those people were working for evil.
Yes.
Without even realizing it. Like, you're trying to get ahead in life. Like, mm-hmm. in a series, one of the attorneys comes to Linda Fairstein and says, you know, can you at least give them a fighting chance?
Right.
And she says, this is not about law anymore. This is about politics. So they're talking about whether you live or die. They're talking about building their careers off of our backs. What I want people to understand is that look at where we are now 30 years later. Nobody would have ever thought that this truth would have came out. And that everybody else that was involved, not only are we trying to find out what went wrong with the Central Park jogger case, but we're trying to figure out what other cases did they do this to as well. That's the collateral effect of this.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys so much for coming through, because that was an incredible series. We're happy to have you here with us.
Absolutely.
You know, regardless of anything else that happened,
thank you for having us. Yes, indeed.
And I hope y'all win all the goddamn Emmys, man.
Man, yes. Thank you for that.
16.
Drink up all them white people liquor. Have a goddamn ball, okay? But stay away from them white women in Hollywood.
Oh,
now. You don't want that.
Ooh. Listen, I bought y'all some gifts too. By the way,
you.
I got some shirts and some T-shirts and some hoodies and all of that stuff for y'all. I got my bag of tricks down here.
Corey and Yusuf, thank you for coming, man.
Good job.
We appreciate
y'all.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
It's the Breakfast Club.
What's up? It's the Breakfast Club. I'm Angela Yee. It's Charlamagne right here. DJ Envy is already in Vegas. We do have some special things happening for you. We are giving you the chance to win 1 of 5 trips to New York City for Powerhouse NYC. It's all presented by AT&T. That's complete with round-trip airfare for 2 people. You also get 2 nights hotel accommodations. Is it a nice hotel? 5-star? Is it 5-star hotel? 4-star. Maybe 4.5. You get suite tickets and you get a chance to meet the Breakfast Club. It's going down at the Prudential Center on October 26th. That features the Migos, Meek Mill, Little Baby, A Boogie, The Baby, David O, Megan Thee Stallion, Saweetie, Polo D, Little TJ, and more. All you have to do is listen each weekday morning for that keyword. When you hear the keyword, text that keyword to 37911, and that's how you'll be entered for the chance to meet the Breakfast Club live at Powerhouse NYC. Thanks to our friends at LuLaRoe, a pioneer in social retail and one of the fastest growing apparel brands in the U.S. If you want to shop LuLaRoe, visit LuLaRoe.com, LuLaRoe.com, and find a retailer nearest you. Now, in the next hour, we do have Shantae Wayans joining us. Yes, she is one of the famous Wayne, from the famous Wayans family. She's a niece. And she's also hilarious. You can see her on Tiffany Haddish's new series, Stay Ready. That's on Netflix. And she did a great job. So you're going to enjoy this interview. Shantae Wayans coming up next hour on The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective.
So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlemagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Let's talk. Donkey of the Day today.
Donkey of the Day.
Go to a young woman named Tyja Russell. Tyja is 29 years old, and she's from the great state of New Jersey. Dropping the clues bombs for New Jersey, damn it. Now, before we talk about Tyja, let me ask y'all a question out there. When the last time you got stood up? When is the last time you told someone you wanted to take them out and didn't show up, huh? When is the last time you told someone to come over and you fell asleep on their ass? I have homeboys now who are not married, not in a committed relationship, not part of this faithful black male community, and they tell me stories like this all the time, especially when we out of town. All right, women come to the hotel and be downstairs in the lobby for hours because said individual has fallen asleep on their ass. Every time I hear stories like this, I feel for those women. Because to me, this is a different level of disrespect, all right? If a man calls you over and tells you that he fell asleep on you, he's either A, lying because he was going through his phone and decided to call a couple different chicks, and whoever got there first is who he's with, hence why he is not answering for you, or B, you just don't excite him like that, okay? You're not falling asleep on a woman you are really excited to see. In fact, that adrenaline rush you get from seeing or being around a woman you're into is gonna wake your ass up, all right? You got a woman coming over, you get excited, all right? You think you're gonna get some ass, so you go hop your ass in the shower, and that shower gonna wake you up. Then you're gonna lotion up, throw on some basketball shorts and a fresh t-shirt, spray some cologne on, roll up something to smoke, pour you a glass of something, and wait for the young lady you called over to arrive, okay? I fell asleep. You fell asleep? How boring was your box that the thought of you coming over puts a man to sleep, all right? So yes, ladies, you should feel extremely disrespected when you come to see a man and he tells you, I fell asleep. That, you wouldn't feel disrespected, G, if that happened to you?
Yeah, I'd be annoyed that I came out of my way.
And that's exactly what happened to Tyja M. Russell. Now, according to the New York Daily News, Tyja was the side chick, all right? That's the New York Daily News words, not mine, all right? Tyja was this young man she was visiting side chick, and the young man told authorities that he asked Russell to come to his house for sex, but he fell asleep before she arrived. Disrespectful. When Tyja got to the man's house, she called him eight times, but he didn't pick up. After 8 phone calls, she allegedly texted the man, I see you want to die.
Damn.
Followed by, you wasted my money to come out of here. And then around 4 a.m., security cameras saw Maja knocking on this young man's door, and he still didn't answer. Ladies, when this is over, rewind and listen to what I said about a man disrespecting you. The level of disrespect this young woman, Taja, received is 4 in the morning. You got there and called 8 times. You knocked on his door, and he igging the hell out of you. Not to mention you already his side chick. What else is there to do, especially after you sent him the I see you want to die text? Well, you got to attempt to kill him. Let's go to News 12 New Jersey to see how Taja and Russell handled this situation.
A woman is accused of setting a man's home on fire after she was invited over for a late night rendezvous. Police say this month, 29-year-old Taja Russell went to the home on Barber Avenue. NorthJersey.com reports the man fell asleep, did not answer the door. They say that's when Russell set the home on fire. The man was taken to the hospital with burns and smoke inhalation.
Taja was determined to have a hot date. All right. Remember when I told you that if a man falls asleep on you before you get there, that means the thought of your poom poom makes him sleepy? You out there giving out that boring ass box? Well, I think Taja realized that in her mind, and she was not leaving that house that night without the word fire coming out of that man's mouth. She wanted that word to be used to describe her vagina, but she didn't get that opportunity, so she decided to set his crib ablaze. Okay, I'm gonna be honest with you. Other than her having an arson charge and an attempted murder charge and being held without bail, I kind of feel him. All right, see, let this be a lesson to you fools. All right, stop standing women up like that after you done wasted their time, energy, and money to come see you. All right, it's disrespectful and just not right. But ladies, don't be like Taja. When a man doesn't value you, doesn't appreciate you, stands you up, don't do what Taja did, even though it hurts not to react. All right, don't do what Taja did. See, I know you really want to work this out, but I don't think this man is ever going to change. All right, when you do but they don't, I just think it's best you go your separate ways. All right, sometimes you have to ask yourself, why should I stay in this relationship? When you're hurting, baby, you ain't happy, baby. Plus, there's just so many other things you got to deal with. So I just think that you should let it burn. All right, please let Remy Ma give Taja Russell the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. Mm-mm-mm. You stupid motherfucker, are you dumb?
I might put something on her books.
Wow.
I might just buy some M&M's or something, some peanut M&M's or something.
My goodness.
I feel her pain a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Now,
she was very literal and true to her words.
She was. But that's what she get for having her hot ass out at 4 in the morning.
All right, we got more coming up next with The Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Shantae Wayans.
Yes,
welcome.
Indeed. Hey, what's up? Thank you for having me, man.
How are you? How has your life changed since They Ready? Comedy special hit Netflix.
Man, finally getting recognized. And, it's just been amazing. It opened up a lot of doors, a lot of opportunities. My tour is starting, trying to develop some stuff. And my fan base has grown so much.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish handpicked all the comedians on there. So what's your relationship with Tiffany Haddish that she said, okay, she's dope, I got to get her on?
I mean, Tiffany and I, we've been friends for over, like, I want to say like 12 years. Mm-hmm. And, the beauty about Tiffany and our circle was we didn't have beef like that. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, people feel competitive and so forth and so on. So Tiffany and I, it was just always that relationship where it was like, yo, game's open for everybody and we want everybody to win.
Now, with the last name Wayans, do you have a lot of pressure being a comedian?
I mean, of course. You know what I'm saying? It's been like my whole life with that. But that's why I tried to take the journey of just trying to make a name for myself and not use that last name to put me where I'm at now.
What's wrong with nepotism, though?
Nothing, but I just had a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? I just always, it's like that search for identity. You know, it's the way people treat you. Mm-hmm. You know, because stuff wasn't really working out for me. Like, people would be like, yo, just go up to the club and be like, you Shantae Wayans. And I'm like, I'm Shantae Wayans. They'd be like, so? Mm-hmm. So, you know, only if they was there would it, like, really work out for me.
You said sometimes they'll be like, Shantae, we got this role for you, but we just need you to get
we just need you to show some you know, some risk. Can I say that? You know, you just got a
show
lot
some
of.
I was gonna say we need you to get Damon Wayans.
No, no,
that's
left.
That's
in the
left.
No. I thought you was talking about like the people, you know, in the networks and stuff like that. That was a setup.
No,
that was a
wasn't.
Setup.
We didn't
that
know
was
one of your jobs.
I didn't catch it either.
I should have let her finish the sentence.
Who asked you to show
She told
you get, you get, those are the things you was, you know, I was getting to. It's like, you know, you, wow. you if you want more roles and, you know, so forth and so on, they're just
sexy.
Like, you gotta be sexy. You should, you know what I mean? Like, go in there and show your stuff because that's what people was into.
Oh, we're glad, and I hope that the industry is changing now.
I mean, yeah, with Lena.
And they're still not just saying, show me your shits for roles.
No. It's just, you know, I mean, I literally, like, I went to do CBS Diversity, and I had this agent that was just like, girl, you need to do this. You need to dress up. And I went in there, and the crazy thing was, like, I knew a lot of people in there, so they can see the uncomfortability. I'm just sitting here with this, like, somewhat cleavage, and it was just so...
So you had a dress on, but you were still, like...
Well, I had my boy pants on, and I tried to show, like, this, give them a little something, but then knowing people, you, like, you know, it's uncomfortable.
Now, for Christmas and Thanksgiving, right, when y'all have family dinners, do you got to prepare yourself for family dinners? Like, I got to write this, because I know they're going to get at me, and I got to get at them back. Does it work like that?
You don't know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? You're just going to get a lot of different octaves of laughter and people, like, trying to one-up each other. That's what's dope about those type of things. Even my grandma would try to chime in certain things. But if you bomb, that's been, like, our best open mic. Because if you bomb, everybody on that block going to hear that laugh.
Right.
That sounds like a special right there.
That's, yeah.
Thanksgiving with the Wayans.
Right.
Where do you land with the Wayans? Like, how are you a Wayans? Like, what are you?
My mom is a sister. Okay. You know, it's 10 kids. My mom is a sister. And
a sister of Keenan and David.
Yeah,
and okay.
Gotcha.
I'm your uncles and aunts.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to do anything else, though, just because of the pressure of being a star in the entertainment world?
I actually didn't want to be in this industry until I moved out to California. Mm-hmm. So I was into computers. I tried to go to Seton Hall for computer science. And then I just felt like I was taking another year of high school. And I was like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. So I went to Cali and was able to find computer work in there. And I'm working on the sets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I found comedy and fell in love.
Now, you said you came out the poor side.
I did come
out
the
poor. What is the poor side of the Wayans family?
Poor side means...
There's no poor side.
No. It's struggle. You got to understand, it's a huge family. So it's not like poor where we was like trying to scrape up stuff, but we lived in the project still, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a car for graduation, but we didn't move out to a mansion. You know what I mean? So it's like I just had a nice car in front of the projects.
But didn't all of the Wayans come from, like...
We all came from the projects, right. But, you know, it's just, listen, it's a big family. Mm-hmm. They got kids. They did a lot of stuff for us. They gave us work. They did all that stuff, but everybody didn't have that type of money.
So it wasn't one of those things, but one of them make it, everybody make it.
It's a lot of people.
No.
She still got a car for graduation.
Right. No.
What kind of car?
Doors. well, back in the day. Look, you're right. It was a Ford Explorer. New, brand new.
Okay,
came in. It was, you know, in the yard and stuff like that. But it's not one doesn't, you know, one makes it, everybody. It's like you have to also want this. Mm-hmm. This industry, this all this stuff. So wherever position they try to put you in, you still have to move forward. And, you know, not everybody was wanting to be a part of this world, or, you know, so on and so on. So.
You've been in some movies too.
I have, you know, I had, I had a little cameo in 50 Shades. You know, I said, bitch, you smell like shit. That was my line in that.
Bitch, you smell like shit.
That was my line. that'd be the hardest thing, though. Like, I went and auditioned for that. And, you know, I auditioned in front of my uncle. And I was supposed to.
How old were you?
Oh, shoot. When did that come out, man? Don't tell. I ain't gonna tell you my age.
Well, you had a 40 floor, and that was a dope card in, so.
Yeah.
We all in the same age bracket, I'm assuming.
No, you're right.
So you was young saying, bitch, you smell like
No. I was probably like maybe late
30s.
I was late 20s.
Okay.
But yeah, I went in audition. I went in with like a skirt and all this stuff, like, because we went in for a big part. And what was the girl name? Jenny got the part. Mm-hmm. But I went in, I did all this stuff. My uncle was like, you did good. And I was like, did I get it? He was like, I got something else for you.
How long did it take you to learn that line?
I was trying to make the best of that line. So I literally was sitting there like, how many, you know, it's like also trying to stay in the camera. Yeah. You don't even have to say nothing as long. I was like trying to lean on Kelly's shoulder. And they just kept going, Shantae, could you just step
scoot
15
over.
Steps to the right? So, yeah.
Do you tell them when anything's whack? Like, are you okay to be like, that movie wasn't it? Or, you know, I watched a stand-up that didn't hit like that.
Definitely. I mean, you know, us being on the road, you know, and stuff like that too was you know, you go back and forth with that. But I think it's always different when you know people. You know what I'm saying? So we know our humor and we know where we're trying to go with it. And so I think we're honest. We're very honest with each other, but we also have a different type of humor that we just get instead of, you know.
What'd they say about your special when they saw it?
They loved it. They liked it. They said, you know, Uncle D hit me up and said, you know, I thought it was a good representation of you know, that. And you spoke your truth and, you know, I'm proud of you. And pretty much everybody said that. One of my uncles tried to give me punch-ups. I was like, I shot the special already.
Trying to get you punch-ups?
Punch-ups, yeah. He was like, you know what you can do with this joke. I said, it's already over.
Which uncle?
Nah, Keenan's just dope, though. Like, I literally was like, why wasn't I coming around you a long time ago to get these punch-ups? Because he's freaking brilliant.
It's interesting when you have that ecosystem of successful people, though, because you can lean on them. But then on the other side, you feel like, I want to do it myself.
Yeah.
To feel like, I guess you're with them, so to speak? Like, yeah, they respect you more, I guess?
Well, my family is very much like that. They want you to work, you know, and they want to see that you want it.
All right, we got more with comedian Shante Williams. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with comedian Shante Williams. Yee.
You said you almost slept with a man by accident on the special, too.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, she just...
My goodness.
Jesus Christ,
what
Yee.
Is right?
You should have started with on the special.
Right.
You said
Jeez.
Like, what?
Why can't I say it in my order?
You almost slept with a man by accident. Like, what?
That was my drinking thing. You know, my drinking, I get really flirtatious and I want kids. So I literally sit here and wonder, like, do I want to spend $30,000-$40,000? Or can I just, you know, take it real quick for the team because I already had it, you know, and that's a good business mind. That goes to the college funds of my kids.
I'm not mad at that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, but I wasn't having sex. I wasn't having sex with dudes, but I would go up to them and be like, you handsome, like in my hoodie and stuff. I'm like, you really handsome. And they're like, you don't get your boy.
Boy, if you don't get away from me.
Right. Get off of me.
Then people ever be like, man, like, she not really a lesbian. She just acting like that.
You know, all dudes think that. All, it's that one stud they caught on a World Star. That
was just,
wah, 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 wah. You like, now you got every dude thinking they got a shot. Thanks.
She said on the special seat that I was trying to her out and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working.
Yeah, I love how you.
What? All this out of context is so crazy.
Well, I'm not a comedian. Like, what? She got
a joke. Cause we went from talking about smashing a boy. Now you just said you was trying to out. Like, what?
No. So the joke is that I turned straight. I said I remember waking up cuddling with this dude, and he's like, oh, you don't remember last night? And I was like, no wonder it felt weird trying to you out.
Oh.
So that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah, what no the joke,
you guys.
You, bad with it,
you
boy.
The one that get on there. You the egg.
Trying.
You the egg on social media that takes that.
Do you stay away from anything in your show? When you do comedy? Is there anything? Because the world
she just
is
thought
sensitive
she's trying
now.
To eat it out. By the way, you can,
no,
though.
She did. No, you didn't. You said what?
You eating
what was that?
How
eat the
doing?
Booty game?
That's all.
Man, I'm not eating no dude's ass.
That sound wild. Instead of saying I ate his ass, I ate him out.
I ate him.
What?
I like to eat out better because right. I still feel partially gay. You know what I mean? It's like.
We call it like boy box.
Yeah, boy box. Yeah, I can't eat no boys, no booty. I be looking at women sometimes like we got to get it together. So
Lord have
I
mercy.
Can imagine a man's butt.
Right. Because that always smells worse somehow.
Yeah. Did you ever done it, Andrew?
No, I'm not a butt eater. I attempted it. It just.
You never ate
but you know what else? I don't like my butt ate. So.
I get my ate, but you can't kiss
you
me after.
Smiling?
You can't kiss me after. It does tickle just a little bit.
Okay. Like in the,
wait, they can't kiss you after?
No.
Well, what kind of incentive is that?
What do you mean?
So now somebody eats your now y'all can't even kiss?
All right, maybe after I ejaculate, then they could eat. They could do it this way. It don't have to go back into kissing.
You don't ejaculate in your
No, I'm talking about after I... I'm not messing with you anymore.
This is an interesting conversation. I'm just sitting there amused by this. So go ahead.
And first of all, and how do you tell a woman, like, if she eats you eat your And then she waiting for you to do her. How do you say no?
Listen, the real thing is when sex goes down, we all do stuff that we probably won't mention.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Charlamagne's a butt, and he talks about how much he
eats
butt.
No, that's, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I eat my wife all the time.
Well, that's your wife, though. You're supposed to eat every crevice.
Well, he's not randomly eating butt.
Yeah, I ain't eating random ass.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you just, you remember the whole eat the booty gang?
Yeah, like, one time for Trick Daddy.
Yeah. If you got the whole, if you doing it like that, then that's something different. Because I feel like...
Just running around eating random.
I like going down. So if I fell in love with eating booty, yeah.
So basically you ain't found
this
that one yet.
This microphone need to be changed.
You ain't found the one yet.
I've booty before.
She said she
is. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So she's the one then.
We not together anymore.
Hey.
So that's why I'm very particular about my butt eating. Yeah.
Because like, people, you know, use that as a way to get at the day. Well, you did eat my ass.
So this is gonna be a girl that pops up like she ate my booty. She's talking about me. Right.
Yeah. Probably like 2-3 of them. But we're not gonna talk about that.
Ain't that the worst when you start popping? Now everybody wanna talk about what you used to do.
Yeah, and it's gonna come out at the interview like a.
Oh my goodness.
Shantae ate my. I'm gonna get a. I was trying to think of a better word.
A whole
than
shade
me
room post.
Yeah, man.
Shantae ate my. Oh my god.
I love it though.
So all what else is coming up next for you now after the special and going on to, you have the tour?
Yeah, I'm doing a house arrest tour, which we got a show out here September 26th at the Gotham Comedy Club.
Who's on house arrest?
Well, me. It's part of my thing because I don't really like going outside and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
I'm a homebody. Plus, too much stuff is going on.
Oh, you got super
in the
anxiety.
World. I do.
Yeah.
There's so much energy outside that I need to come home and feel like I'm at peace, and that's like my safe haven.
How are you a comedian don't like to go out?
Why you gotta go out?
I feel like you gotta go to comedy club. You gotta see the world.
For what? That's the problem with people. Yeah, everybody gets
they
all
go
these.
Out?
No. You people are. I'm in this phase of my life where I'm trying to heal myself and get my stuff together. And I've learned that if I live the way everything that's happening to me right now has been based on how I changed my life and my patterns. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to go out 7 days a week. I can go out 4 days and I need a day or two to myself and maybe for the chick that I might be talking to. So all, you know what I mean? But you need that come down.
Gotcha.
What else are you doing to help your healing? Therapy?
No, not therapy. I'm doing stuff like I just met my dad for the first time.
Wow.
In May, and that was like years of me just being angry and, you know, feeling all this stuff. And so I met him, and it turned out to be an amazing time. And
how did that happen?
Well, you know, I got drunk, and I called him, and all of a sudden the next day he was like, I booked my plane ticket, and I was like, what plane ticket? And he came out, and he stayed for 2 weeks on my studio apartment. And it just worked out well. He called me on my birthday, didn't say happy birthday, but then he came and baked me a cake, even though he spelled my name wrong. It was like seeing all these things of him trying.
Right.
It felt really good.
Did y'all hash out like all your differences, like why he wasn't there or whatever?
That's what's dope about him. I literally was asked. I filmed it. I had like, you know, a little vlog that I did, but I haven't edited it yet. But I literally was able to ask him like, yo, what was up with? Why you do that to my mom's? And he was like, yo, your mom's is beautiful, but, you know, them hoes is out there. I was like, I feel you. He got light eyes, you know. He had the curly curls and stuff like that back in the day. So, you know, it was dope for him to be honest and try.
What did your mom think about all that?
You know, my mom is all for me trying to better myself. You know, to be honest, I've witnessed, like, abusive... you know, her being in abusive relationships and stuff like that. So to even hear that my dad didn't do that was kind of like already an opening of like relief, you know? So she's excited. She's happy for me and, you know.
Was it painful?
Nah, I really feel like everything happens for a reason. And the fact that I got to see him before he passed and you know, get that together, I'm happy.
I know your uncle's probably like, man, f*** that.
Nah, they like, yo, you got a whole new 15, 20 minutes right there. You know, everything becomes a joke. It doesn't even matter, man. Like, that's new material I get to work on. It's hilarious. This dude, he was, like, taking me to get ice cream in the park. He was, like, trying to relive all the years.
You're a grown-ass woman.
I'm a grown, but I was in that swing. I was like, damn,
me.
Grown ass dude. It was my all goodness. Love for me.
Well, we appreciate you for joining us. It's Shantae Wayne.
Make sure you watch. If you haven't seen the special, make sure you please check
Tiffany
that out.
Tiffany Haddish presents Day Ready.
Yep, that's yep. Right.
And how can people see the tour date so they know how to get this house arrest tour?
Everything is C. Wayans, but go to my website, cwayans.com, and you'll get to see all that.
All right, it's Shantae Wayans. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It is The Breakfast Club. So, you guys, you know we're at the iHeartRadio Music Festival, right? Right now.
No, we not.
We are.
But we can pretend.
We're not here. We're there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're really there.
Wink,
we're,
wink. Yes, you're right.
We're pretending to be here, but we are in Vegas.
Got you.
In all actuality. And we left yesterday. I left yesterday as well. All right. And you guys can also join in the fun and watch. Make sure you tune in today and tomorrow. You could watch live on the CW app and on CWTV.com. You can check out performances from people like Chance the Rapper, Camila Cabello, Miley Cyrus, French Montana, Steve Aoki, Alicia Keys, Her, Juice WRLD, and so many more people. I love the iHeart Festival because it makes me listen to music and watch artists that I probably ordinarily wouldn't, and sometimes I end up really liking them.
I love the iHeart Festival because it lets me know that the holidays are right around the corner, and that means that the year is almost over, and I can't wait.
Right, and I have a lot of special things going on. We're going to end this year with a bang because the Lip Service Live Tour is happening. It goes down October 20th. We kick it off in Philly, and we end everything November 13th in Chicago. So if you guys want to get your tickets, they are available right now. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to get those tickets. And I'm really excited to come on the road and meet everybody in all these different cities like Atlanta, D.C., Charlotte, L.A., Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago. And since it is Freaky, Freaky, Freaky Friday, here's a little Lip Service clip for you in case you've never listened to the podcast. What's up? We are getting ready for Lip Service, and we got some special guests in the building. Everybody introduce yourself.
I'm Stephanie Santiago.
I'm Gigi McGuire.
I'm Neo.
I'm L'Oreal. Mm-hmm. All right, what's your favorite position?
Doggy style. My ass guy. I like the ass.
I like
the ass.
What about reverse cowgirl?
Reverse cowgirl.
You like reverse cowgirl?
No.
Why not?
Okay. I have a curve, which makes it sometimes difficult for a woman to be on top and not hurt me.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. Is she going a little crazy cowgirl, and my in the other way or something?
It curves back or to the left or to the right?
To the left.
Okay. To the left. Oh, that's why you wrote that song.
To the left.
All right, well, that was Lip Service. Hope you guys enjoyed. It gets very spicy, but we can only play certain things here on The Breakfast Club. Now, Envy, you have that People's Choice mix coming up? Yes, I do. All right, if you want to hear anything, make sure you hit up Envy. You can tweet him at DJ Envy. He's in Vegas, so I don't know how this is going to work, but we'll make it happen. It's The Breakfast Club.
I'm a young CEO.
All right, you guys, it's The Breakfast Club, and make sure everybody has a great weekend. We're out here in Vegas, so make sure you guys watch live on the CW app and CWTV.com to check out the iHeartRadio Music Festival. Right, you get to see Chance the Rapper, Camila Cabello, Miley Cyrus, French Montana, Steve Aoki, Alicia Keys, Her, Juice WRLD, a lot of other artists performing. And let me plug what I have going on. We have our first ever Lip Service Live Tour that Live Nation put together for us, and that all kicks off October 20th. And Philly will be coming to a city near you, hopefully. But if you guys want to see those Lip Service dates, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. And tickets are now open for the general public. The pre-sale ended, and now you can go ahead and get tickets and come out and hang out with the ladies from Lip Service. That's me, Gigi McGuire, L'Oreal, and Stephanie Santiago.
Yes, and listen, man, this Monday, I'm going to be at the Buttonweiser Hall. Okay, the Buttonweiser Hall here in New York City. I'm going to be with my guy, Kevin Love. It's an event we're doing courtesy of 92Y, and the conversation is titled, It Happened to Me, Why We All Need to Talk About Mental Health. So Kevin Love and myself, Charlamagne Tha God, will be at the Buttonweiser Hall Monday, 7:30 p.m. here in New York City. Go to 92Y.com and see how you can get tickets to get into that. All right? We got the positive note coming up next. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. Salute to everybody going out to the iHeartRadio Music Festival. That's where DJ Envy is now. That's where Angela Yee is pretending to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a great... Well, no, I'm not. I'm really there.
Okay.
I'm pretending to be here.
I'll be there tomorrow. All right? Okay. But listen, the positive note is simply this. For everybody out there that is trying to be more mentally healthy, man, just remember that mental strength is not the ability to stay out of the darkness. It's the ability to sit present in the darkness, knowing that the light will shine again.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.